Armstrong, the first man to set foot on the moon, that clearly came from all the lunar material that had accumulated on and in our clothes. To Armstrong it was the scent of wet ashes. To his Apollo 11 crewmate Buzz Aldrin, it was the smell in the air after a firecracker has gone off. All the astronauts who walked on the moon noticed it, and many of them commented on it to Mission Control. Harrison Schmitt, the geologist who flew on Apollo 17, the last lunar landing, said after his second moonwalk, "Smells like someone's been firing a carbine in here." Almost unaccountably, no one had warned Lunar Module pilot Jim Irwin about the dust. When he took off his helmet inside the cramped Lunar Module cabin, he said, "There's a funny smell in here." His Apollo 15 crewmate Dave Scott said, "Yeah, I think that's the lunar dirt smell. Never smelled lunar dirt before, but we got most of it right here with us." Moon dust was a mystery that the National Aeronautics and Space Administration had, in fact, thought about. Cornell University astrophysicist Thomas Gold warned NASA that the dust had been isolated from oxygen for so long that it might well be highly chemically reactive. If too much dust was carried inside the lunar module's cabin, the moment the astronauts repressurized it with air and the dust came into contact with oxygen, it might start burning or even cause an explosion. Gold, who correctly predicted early on that the moon's surface would be covered with powdery dust, also had warned NASA that the dust might be so deep that the lunar module and the astronauts themselves could sink irretrievably into it. Among the thousands of things they were keeping in mind while flying to the moon, Armstrong and Aldrin had been briefed about the very small possibility that the lunar dust could ignite. It was, said Aldrin, the worry of a few. A late July fireworks display on the moon was not something advisable. Armstrong and Aldrin did their own test. They took a small sample of lunar dirt that Armstrong had scooped into a lunar sample bag and put in a pocket of his spacesuit right as he stepped onto the moon, a contingency sample in case, for some reason, the astronauts had to leave suddenly without collecting rocks. Back inside the lunar module, the astronauts opened the bag and spread the lunar soil out on top of the ascent engine. As they repressurized the cabin, they watched to see if the dirt started to smolder. "If it did, we'd stop pressurization, open the hatch, and toss it out," explained Aldrin. But nothing happened. The moon dust turned out to be so clingy and so irritating that on the one night that Armstrong and Aldrin spent in the lunar module on the surface of the moon, they slept in their helmets and gloves, in part to avoid breathing the dust floating around inside the cabin. NASA had anticipated the dust and the danger. The smell was a surprise. By the time the moon rocks and dust got back to Earth, a total of 842 pounds from six lunar landings, the smell was gone. Scientists think the rocks and dirt were chemically reactive, as Gold theorized, but that the air and moisture the rocks were exposed to in their sample boxes on the way to Earth pacified them, releasing whatever smell there was to be released. Scientists who have studied the rocks and dirt and handled them and sniffed them say they have no odor at all, and no one has quite figured out what caused it or why it was so like spent gunpowder, which is chemically nothing like moon rock. "Very distinctive smell," said Apollo 12 Commander Pete Conrad. "I'll never forget, and I've never smelled it again since then." In 1999, as the century was ending, the Pulitzer Prize-winning historian Arthur Schlesinger Jr. was among a group asked what the most significant human achievement of the 20th century was. In ranking the events, Schlesinger said, "I put DNA and penicillin and the computer and the microchip in the first 10, because they've transformed civilization. But in 500 years, if the United States of America still exists, most of its history will have faded to invisibility. Pearl Harbor will be as remote as the War of the Roses," said Schlesinger. "The one thing for which this century will be remembered, 500 years from now, was